Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jacqueline Charles. Thank you for tuning in to Women Are Worthy. Susan, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning, Susan. I was testing out my theme song. I love the song by Chaka Khan, I'm Every Woman, because I believe we all represent, you know, I just love that song. First, I want to thank everyone, and I want to thank you, Susan, for tuning in. I know you're very busy, and I thank you, you know, from the bottom of my heart for actually joining, you know, tuning into our show and being our guest on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
This is, and what I mean, Women Are Worthy, as I said, I created this platform so we can talk about anything from men to menopause, whatever issues that we have or concerns, because there's always light at the end of the tunnel. And today, Susan, first I'd like to, tell the listeners who you are. I have a wonderful author, a wonderful lady, and I receive lots of, you know, bios on who would like to be on the show, and I personally pick through the bios, and Susan, I really love you. I love what you represent. Her name is, it's a critically acclaimed author. I'm going to say you're critically acclaimed because I love everything about you. Her name is Susan Gowdy. Did I say that correctly, Susan?
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect.
Oh, yay! And basically, topic of today's show is you don't have to live in the shadow of your past. And I got that from Susan's bio because so often that we're so stuck in our past, we can't move forward. Susan's also from Chicago. She's just phenomenal. And, you know, I want Susan, let's start this interview, as I said, Susan. This is really not an interview. This is a discussion between two girlfriends. I know that you're adding value to the show. So I want to start off first by asking, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I was born and raised in Chicago, and I grew up on the northwest side, and then I went to Whitney Young High School, and then I went on to Southern Illinois University, where I started studying social work and a minor in psychology. I moved from there to Arizona, and I finished my bachelor's and my master's degree at Arizona State University. Now I live in Colorado Springs. I have 4 beautiful children, Samantha, Stephen, Alex, and Mariah, and I've been married 28 years, and I just celebrated my 50th birthday a couple weeks ago.
Oh, so you're fabulous and 50. 50 is fabulous.
I thought I was fabulous in 49, but yeah.
When you get older, it gets better. It gets better. Congratulations on turning 50. I celebrate that with you. What I wanted to talk about, Susan, because, you know, when I mentioned to folks that you were going to be on the show, you know, I closed the phone line down and I received some questions. So what was your family life like as a child growing up?
Well, I grew up mostly in the 70s, and I grew up in the city. Like I said, on the northwest side, I actually lived in the city, not in a suburb. But the area I grew up in was kind of like a small town because the neighborhood was where you could walk to, you know, anywhere you needed to go, the hardware store, the grocery store, all of that. And I had 4 brothers. I have 4 brothers, and I have a twin brother. So I was the only girl, and I was the youngest. And a pretty normal, you know, family life in the 70s, that kind of life where you could run and play and be outside a lot. That's what we did. We played outside as much as we possibly could. Pretty normal family life. So it was, you know, it was good. Lots of family support, that kind of thing.
When I mentioned today that the topic of your show is called You Don't Have to Live in the Shadow of Your Past, the purpose of me, you know, ask granting and getting permission and for you actually to be on the show, because I want people to know that you have studied years and years of spiritual growth and learning, you know, through studies and writings and things that you've gone through. And anyone who knows me and my Women Are Worthy Facebook page is filled with positive affirmation. You know, I'm always upbeat. My glass is always half full instead of half empty, because I normally tell people, you know, when I wake up, look, I'm above 6 feet, you know, above ground, so there isn't anything I can't conquer or complain about. So I want to delve into some questions because, you know, you have gone through a tremendous spiritual growth, and I want the listeners or someone who's going through or have gone through issues that you've gone through in the past to basically see, wow, this woman has done it, so maybe I can. So do you mind if we delve into some questions?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay. In your bio, you were sexually molested at a young age. Did the neighbor, did he ever get justice, or did you ever get justice, you know, when he sexually assaulted you? And could we talk a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, and I didn't... You know, when you asked about me, I didn't put that in there because I had a pretty normal childhood except for that event.
Right.
But as far as my family and everything, I had a very, you know, normal, what would be a normal childhood. But I was 2 months before my third birthday, a 16-year-old neighbor boy who just lived a few houses down sexually abused me in the entranceway of their basement. In Chicago, they had, you know, like a little, it was like a hallway, and it was, you went down a few steps, and there was a hallway, a concrete hallway before you went into your basement. And that was a family that, you know, I knew his sister was a friend of mine. I knew the family. I felt comfortable with them. His father was actually a minister. It was only a few houses down, and at that time in that day and age, you know, it wasn't unusual that I would be playing down the street with all the other kids out front, and
right.
That's what I was doing. So, but yeah, as far as getting justice back then, I think he did. But back then, there was no Child Protective Services or anything like that in Chicago. It was a little early for that; that hadn't been developed. But his family did. My father and his father spoke. They knew what had occurred. I don't know if they knew all the details. It was a life-threatening situation. He did threaten to kill me, and I according to my mother, what had occurred, I could have died at that age. Anyhow, but his family did deal with it the best that they knew how. They sent him away. He was, you know, taken out of the picture and sent to live with somebody that they hoped would straighten him out. And, I mean, you know, with CPS, he would have been maybe put in a foster home. I'm not sure at 16 what would have occurred with actually CPS. They probably wouldn't have done that, but he would have been removed from the home. So, and that's what the family did. So for the times and considering the circumstances and everything, I think, yeah, it was handled the best that it could be handled.
Okay, so those who just now tuned in, again, I have Ms. Susan Gowdy on the radio, and basically the topic of today's show is you don't have to live in the shadow of your past, and she's proving that, you know, by her experience, and because of that, she's willing to help other people. How did you deal with that? How did you handle that ordeal?
Well, I was so young that, you know, I don't think I really understood completely. I knew that I was hurt. I knew that he had threatened my life. He told me that if I told anyone with his fist in my face, and I remember that very clearly even today, that, and he was much bigger than me, of course. I wasn't even 3 years old. And like I said, it was in a concrete hallway, so he was kind of towering over me in the dark.
Right.
And I, at that age, I understood that kill. I mean, I understood that that meant bad. That was really bad. I understood the concept of you step on an ant, the ant's killed in a little three-year-old, not even three-year-old mind. I understood that meant it was going to be bad. He was going to hurt me really bad. So I did keep my mouth shut for like 3 years until I was about six. And then at six, I started just telling anyone that would listen. And I, you know, innocently, just kind of matter of fact, you know, this happened to me, and this is what he did to me. And he was already gone. So, you know, as a young child, I think I was pretty brave because, I mean, I kept my mouth shut, but then I started speaking up. And friends then accused me of lying, and that, I, you know, that had to be a lie because they knew his family, knew who he was, all of that. But, I mean, he was gone. So I shut up again until I was probably in my teenage years. And that's probably that stage, you know, where you're trying to test out who your real friends are, and you start to share deep, dark secrets, that kind of thing. And so I started to tell friends during the teenage years, just a handful, just my closest friends. I mean, even to this day, out of my four brothers, I think three of them said they didn't have any idea that this had occurred until I'd written the book. So,
wow.
You know, it wasn't really discussed. My parents were, if I wanted to talk about it, I was never told I couldn't. But I was so young that, I don't know how it was actually, I'm sure it was brought up. My mother knew from the day that it happened how severe it was. So she knew that it was bad. And I, out of that, I mean, I created a lot of fears. And the book is The Journey from Fear to Love is shorter than you think. And due to that trauma, I mean, it was years later that I realized that through my life I had created a lot of fears, deep fears, and I didn't really know where those had come from. I hadn't put that together until I was in college and started studying, and then I started connecting. And I had a reoccurring nightmare that was horrific for years, probably until I was about 27, so 24 years, and it was almost nightly. And that was even that, not, I, you know, didn't make the full connection until I was getting older, where that came from. So, but I think subconsciously the way I dealt with it is I dove right in. I mean, I went to college and I went right into social work. And then I worked in Child Protective Services as a young person in Phoenix, on the south side of Phoenix. So, you know, I think I've just always been on this path to heal, to, you know, without even knowing it, because that's the direction I headed, and here I am trying to help others.
And that's what I love about you. I have not met you personally, but just reading your bio, and I've just spent some time just researching you, you know, with your strong background in psychology and counseling and also social work, it would make sense. It's great where other people would block it out and do something completely different. You chose the other path to try to help other people who's going through this and talking about it. It takes a strong person to write a book about their experience, especially this. You know, and I've noticed in the past couple of interviews that I've had, you know, with people who had some sort of issues, sexually assault or being sexually assaulted has always come up in the majority of my interviews. We're talking about some addiction to something else, and this comes up. So, and they've